Well, now on Radio 4, the comedian Andrew O'Neill delves into the world of gender portrayal and identity in his new show, Pharmacist Baffler.
Oi, mate! Oi, mate! You're wearing a dress, mate! Oi, mate! You are not dressed according to a socially constructed standard of gender! Oi, mate! Your choice of garment is laying bare the arbitrary nature of our societally constructed gender norms! And you look gay. I'm not gay. You can tell, because I'm shouting at you for being gay.
These exact words, and words like them, are used on the streets of Britain every weekend. Just £5 a day can help a street-based shouty man channel his masculine energy into something more useful. Like smashing up rocks in a ditch. Just £5 a day can re-educate these men and show them that we didn't think they were gay until they started shouting at other people for being gay. Whereupon we did start to wonder. Please, give now.
I bought a bus and I painted it black, and now the bus gets hot in the summer. Hot bus, why did you paint the bus black? Hot bus, I just had a lot of black paint. Hot bus, have you come to regret that decision? Hot bus, yes, particularly when it's sunny. Thank you. Thank you very much, thank you. Welcome to Pharmacist Baffler, a stand-up comedy show which aims to satirise society's views on gender and sexuality with such force that the entire population spends the whole of next week crippled with shame. I'll be helped along the way by my friend, Mr. Stephen Carlin.
How you doing, Andrew?
No time for small talk, Stephen. Doing a radio show. So then, oh, Mr. Cyclops, why are you so angry? So good evening. Good evening. My name is Andrew O'Neill. I'm 35 years old. I like heavy metal and drinking booze. And the more observant among the audience here would have noticed that I am dressed a bit like a girl. Now, the reason I'm dressed a bit like a girl is I'm a transvestite, and that is the minimum requirement. Now, I am aware that my transvestism doesn't come across all that well on the radio. My voice is probably the least feminine thing about me. Actually, no, my penis is the least feminine thing about me. Oh, Mr. Cyclops, why are you so angry? I only have one eye! I only have one eye! So because this is a show about how I present myself, and because this is radio, I'm now going to get someone in the audience to describe what I look like. So, you, sir. Hello there. What's your name?
Tim.
Tim. Hello, Tim. Now, would you please like to describe in as much detail as you can for the listening audience my appearance?
Andrew is wearing a short black dress.
Short black dress.
Leggings.
Yeah.
High heel boots. Tattoos.
Yeah.
The face is red makeup.
Red makeup.
Well, just red makeup.
Try and think about the picture you're painting, Tim, at home. They're thinking, okay, so from the neck down, pretty stylish, forward-looking, slightly gothic. From the neck up, some sort of Brazilian tribal look.
Get in there.
Just red lipstick, Tim. Okay, yeah, go on.
Long, dark hair.
Yeah.
Black glasses. I said fetching tattoos earlier.
Fetching tattoos? I didn't catch that. Oh, you're a gentleman. Round of applause, please, for Tim. That was wonderful. Hi, what's your name?
Jerry.
Hello, Jerry. And please, for the audience at home, describe in as much detail as you can what I'm wearing. You're not allowed to use any of the words he's used.
Well, I see you actually as how I imagine Linda Snell on The Archers.
Now, Linda Snell, I don't know who that is. Who is it?
She's this very annoying person who has a pantomime every year. On the
very
Archers.
Annoying person who's in pantomime.
No,
every
she
year.
Runs a pantomime.
She runs
but
a pantomime.
This, year, she's
this is
not.
The nichest reference I've ever. It's great observational comedy. So, anyone here run pantomimes? We all do, don't we? We've all run a pantomime.
She's at the moment going all around Ambridge looking for people.
She's known all around. Oh, it's an Archers reference. I listen to Radio 4, but what I do is when I hear the Archers theme, I run absolutely as quick as is humanly possible and turn that off. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the alternative. Round. So that, ladies and gentlemen, listening at home, is what I look like. Oh, Mr. Cyclops, why are you so angry? I only have one eye! I only have one eye! But, Mr. Cyclops, why are you so angry? I can't do magic eye pictures! Now, I've used the word transvestite. I don't like the word transvestite. It's very loaded. It's got a lot of negative connotations. That's why I like the phrase pharmacist baffler. It's much better, isn't it? Or there's correct toilet double-check instigator. Or patriarchal birthright rejector. Or just clothes puff. Any of those will do. So what is a transvestite? Well, broadly speaking, a transvestite is someone whose brain, for whatever reason, tells them they'd be much happier if they wore the clothing of the opposite sex. More often than not, transvestite refers to a man who wears women's clothes. It's not drag. Drag is an exaggerated performance. It's more of a gay thing, and it usually involves show tunes. I'm straight, and I like death metal. Transvestism is also defined by the fact that it's an urge that comes from within. Like murder. Like slightly less socially acceptable. Transvestite is not the same as transsexual. Transsexual people identify and live as a different gender from the one they were saddled with at birth. By definition, transsexual people cease to be eligible for the title transvestite as soon as they transition. They're not wearing the clothing of the other gender because they are the other gender. They've upgraded, in effect. And transsexual people view transvestites in much the same way the regular army views the TA. They're the special forces, we're the weekend warriors. So when it comes to gender stuff, language is a minefield. Transsexual people hate the word tranny. Trannies are often uncomfortable with the implication that they're transsexual. But definitions are important when it comes to this stuff, not least because ill-informed people love to tell me I'm not a transvestite. It happens all the time.
Oh, no, you're not a transvestite.
What? Yes, I am.
No, you're not. Not really.
Listen, mate, I've done a lot more thinking about this stuff than you have. Trust me, what I am is exactly a transvestite.
Well, go on then.
What?
Turn into a car?
No, you're thinking of a transformer.
What? The Lou Reed album? You're trying to tell me that you're a Lou Reed album?
I'm beginning to think you're not a qualified psychologist. When I was 5, I really wanted to be a girl. This is a common thread in my life. I liked comedians so much, I became one. I liked heavy metal guitarists so much, I became one. And I liked girls so very, very much that I really, really wanted to become one. This desire was a mild form of what's called gender dysphoria. It's an intense feeling that you're not the gender you were assigned at birth. Now, I had it relatively easy. A lot of trans people experience an extreme revulsion at their own bodies. I'm lucky I didn't have that. What I did have oscillated between two feelings. The first was a deep suspicion that there had been an error. Excuse me, I seem to have been sent the wrong genitals. I demand to see the manager. The second feeling was a paranoia that I'd been born a girl and then somehow altered to be a boy. Now, men have a little line that goes from their bum right up to the top of the penis. When I first noticed that, I immediately assumed that this was where my vagina had been sewn up. In the first few years of my life, my gender seemed a lot more fluid. So doing things like occasionally dressing up in my friends' dresses was seen as sort of harmless and amusing. My mum even painted my nails a couple of times. But there came a definite point where all that stopped and I was expected to act like a boy. I buried these feelings deep down, deep, deep down, in a very healthy way.
Yeah!
repression. It's the fun way to bury inconvenient feelings. Repression, storing them up for fun times later. So, one of the reasons I don't like the word transvestite is not all transvestites are created equal. A lot of transvestites do it in a very different way to me. For a start, there are fetish transvestites. For them, cross-dressing is a secretive sexual activity rather than an issue of identity. They adopt female personas and they dress like Lorraine Kelly did in the 90s. Now, obviously, these types of transvestites are disgusting and should be ashamed of themselves.
The BBC would like to make it clear that the views currently being expressed are those of Andrew O'Neill and not the BBC. Here at the BBC, we welcome perverts and weirdos from all walks of life.
The actual BBC would like to make it clear that the previous announcement was not a bona fide BBC announcement, and as such does not represent the true values of the BBC. We actually frown on any sexual activity other than that between a man and a woman who are married and British.
The elephant in the room here is that a lot of transvestites look really rubbish. Some of you laughing in a way that I'm slightly uncomfortable with here. But transvestites who separate their cross-dressing from the rest of their lives tend to wear whatever turns them on rather than what actually suits them or expresses their identity. That's because it's an image of femininity that they formed when they were five, when their sexuality crystallised. From a style point of view, it's a disaster. Now, there is a third type of transvestite, neither entirely secretive nor entirely open. They are what I like to call fancy dress party only transvestites. Yeah, some knowing laughs there. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, look, Dave's wearing a dress again. Yeah, I don't even like it. It's just a laugh, innit? Yeah, but Dave, you always wear a dress. Yeah, it's because it's funny, innit? You're getting very good at doing your makeup. Shut up. Now, given the secrecy involved, it's not really surprising that transvestism is misunderstood. Transvestism isn't a hobby or a lifestyle choice or a subculture. It's an urge. You know when you get cold at a barbecue and you borrow someone else's coat? Or when you get dirty as a kid and you have to borrow someone else's clothes? How it sort of feels like you're no longer quite dressed like you. And that urge to get back into your own clothes, times that by 1,000, and that's what it feels like to be dressed masculine when you feel feminine. Now, I've worked out that my transvestism remained buried for about 8 years. Then puberty kicked in and the dam burst. I wanted to immerse myself in femininity. And this is the point most transvestites stay at. But for me, there was something more. It was that re-emergence of the feeling that I wanted to be a girl, that my gender was wrong. Patently, something was up. Something was different about me. And it was very clear, looking around me, the men who wear women's clothes are the subjects of derision and shame. Why is it that when a man cross-dresses, he's seen as ridiculous? Why is it that women who dress masculine are not laughed at in the same way? Well, it's because men have a higher status in society than women. When men cross-dress, they're seen as humiliating themselves. If you imagine Hillary Clinton doing a photo shoot wearing a three-piece suit and brogues. Now think about David Cameron being photographed wearing a dress and high heels. Yeah, right? How would that pan out politically for each of them? And the thing is, though, the gendering of young children is a relatively modern thing. Blue for boys and pink for girls came about purely from marketing in the middle part of the 20th century. In fact, an article in the Ladies' Home Journal in June 1918 said,
"The generally accepted rule is pink for the boys and blue for the girls. Pink being a more decided and stronger colour is more suitable for the boy, while blue, which is more delicate and dainty, is prettier for the girl."
Good noise you made then. Yep, Rethian. Up until the beginning of the 20th century, young children weren't expected to present their gender at all. In fact, very young boys were often put in dresses.
Oh, that's appalling. The penis requires a trouser.
Why?
Oh, you know, because of the... The old... No, I've got nothing.
You got nothing. This gendering of clothing gives the clothing of the opposite sex a certain power and mystique. So as a child, when you feel like you want to be the opposite gender, wearing the clothes is the obvious first step. Now, women are awesome. Well, most of them. Some of them are Nazis. Sexy, sexy Nazis. Some feminists question the status of trans women. Some go as far as writing off gender dysphoria and genital reassignment surgery as an extreme sexual kink. But don't worry, these are the shit feminists that we don't really need to listen to. Good feminists are available. So, in between working out that I was a transvestite and actually telling people, I kept it a secret for several years. I was in the closet with all the clothes. I began to think about whether I was in fact transsexual. I certainly felt uncomfortable presenting just as male, but I wasn't that concerned about changing my body. Apart from my face, which I really wished and do still wish was more feminine, I'd got used to my body and I got to quite like it. I'm very attached to my penis. But I still had an overwhelming desire to wear female gendered clothes and makeup. I wanted to look female. Now, at this point, I had no desire to tell anyone, let alone do it in public. I had no role models. I had a fascination with men who wore makeup, but I couldn't find a single example of someone who did it who wasn't gay. And then I saw Eddie Izzard. Basically, all of this is his fault. Suddenly, I had a role model, a surreal stand-up comedian who cross-dresses but is straight and who doesn't do the whole female persona thing. I finally had an idea of how I could do it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, thing about being in the closet, it's dark in there and no one can see how awesome you look. And the night I decided to come out as a transvestite was genuinely one of the most exciting nights of my life. I was giddy with the possibilities. I could wear what I wanted. I slightly fixated on the idea that I could get some new, more feminine glasses.
I know, right?
Thinking big. I could go into shops and buy makeup. I could dress how I wanted. So the first step was I needed to pick someone to tell. And I decided I'd tell my best mate, John. So the next day, I went to where we both worked and I told him straight out. I told him straight out that I had something to tell him. It took me another 24 hours to actually tell him I'm a transvestite. Why was I so scared? Well, I feared rejection. I was worried that the people who were most important to me wouldn't like the real me. Of course, when it came to it, most people I knew were almost disappointingly fine about the whole thing. For most people, the scariest thing about coming out as gay or as a gender non-conformist is telling your parents. Now, my mum was mainly fine about it. I think slightly confused that it didn't mean I was gay. I didn't tell my dad directly. I just invited him to see the band I was in at the time. And at the gig, I wore a skirt and makeup. He turned up, looked me up and down and went, "Do you want a drink?" Hey! Nice work, Dad. And so now, ladies and gentlemen, having learnt from my parents, here is Andrew O'Neill's Tips for Parents.
Andrew O'Neill's Tips for Parents.
Tip number one, don't be a dick.
That was Andrew O'Neill's Tips for Parents.
Some tips for parents there. So now I had to work out how the flip to do this. I was 19, I'd never really put on proper makeup, I had some serious catching up to do. And transvestites always hope to be able to pass for female. When I first started, I had a fairly unrealistic notion of how feminine I'd be able to look. The gap between how you want to look and how you manage to look can be pretty upsetting. For me, that's what remains of that five-year-old boy's gender dysphoria. What you want is, she looks hot. And what you get is, that bloke's wearing a dress! It very quickly became clear that I don't pass. And so, in a revolutionary act of thinking outside the box, I stopped trying. And the relief was huge. And this is my secret to happy transvestism. Accepting the limitations of my own physical form and doing it my own way. And most of the time it's pretty androgynous. Sometimes I'm more masculine, sometimes I'm more feminine. Like all of my clothes basically are women's clothes, even if that's just skinny jeans and girl-cut t-shirts. But when I dress up, it's tranny time! Yeah, an expression I'm trying to give more currency to. It's tranny time! I'm gonna have me a shave! So now I was out and I decided it was time to stick on a Napalm Death album and smash up the closet with a sledgehammer. Obviously, being a performer gives me more space to dress how I want. I'm very lucky. I live in a bit of a bubble where people are cool with it, but occasionally I am reminded that to a lot of people out there, breaking the gender rules is a big deal. Once, when I dressed up, especially for my 22nd birthday, I was told by two separate women on the same street that I was disgusting to my face. Semi-regularly, men will bellow sweary challenges at me, usually about 3 seconds after they've accidentally found me attractive. Oi, mate, they shout. You look like a woman! To which my stock response is, blimey, your mum must be ugly. Imagine these people's love lives are a fairly complicated affair. How did that date go? Turns out it was another bloke. What, again? You're a knob. Don't go to Thailand. If you closely examine the statement, oi mate, you look like a woman, that statement is inherently untrue, isn't it? Because surely if I genuinely look like a woman, he wouldn't bring it up. Unless he does go around to women. Going, you look like a woman! In which case, perhaps I shouldn't let him out on his own. Going around aggressively pointing out people's genders. That looks like a bloke. Yes, it does. Well done. That looks like a bus stop. Right again. You're really good at this. That looks like my medication. Yeah, maybe we should get you home. This is confusing. I mean, the reason I get shouted at when I cross-dress is that I don't pass for female, which contradicts these other ones who shout at me for looking too much like a woman. When I don't cross-dress, basically these two groups need to get together and decide between themselves whether or not I look like a woman. And save themselves up to 60% of their street-based shouty man time. That's the most extreme level, right? Abuse. The next level down from abuse is kerfuffle. I get a lot of double takes. I do like a nice clean double take. It's a reflex action, isn't it? People look and they look away and their brain goes, more information, please. And then they look again. Sometimes I get a more awkward double take where they've taken too long to decide to look again, right? So they try and do it more subtly. The head remains pointing in the other direction and their eye sort of tries to crane round the socket. Now, I don't blame people for being awkward. It's not their fault. The gender binary is hardwired. There's an evolutionary advantage to knowing quickly if someone's a potential mate or a potential rival. It creates a brain fart when you have to rethink. But it's how people deal with that that makes a difference, right? Bellowing, bloody hell, mate, I thought you was a bird, is not cool. It's not like I'm even trying to pass for female. As I said, I go more for androgyny, but our society isn't equipped for androgyny. Our language is gendered. If you go into a pub or a bar or a shop, they use a gendered title. They call you mate or madam or sir or love. With me, they always awkwardly drop the title. There you go. I was at a bar a couple of months ago. Went up to a bloke working there. Went, excuse me, mate, where's the toilet? And he went, gents is that way, ladies is that way. Amazing. The most diplomatic man in the world. I would have given him a hug, but he's clearly already outside of his comfort zone. These interactions occur all the time, and they're a good thing. They're an opportunity to humanise transvestism, to demonstrate that I'm relatively normal, I'm witty, and I am breathtakingly and daringly stylish. Again with the weird laugh. Now, crossing the gender boundary is a political act. For me, it's a hostile act of marking out territory. I'm creating a space for others and making my own world more comfortable. And I feel a responsibility to people who are less brazen than I am or whose circumstances make it harder for them to be who they want to be. And I'm not alone. The shameful closeted tranny is a dying breed. I get significantly less grief on the street for cross-dressing than I used to. Now, admittedly, this might be because I'm doing it a lot better. I will concede I look pretty rubbish. Back in the day, maybe some of those street shouts were actual fashion advice. Oi, mate! Wouldn't wear that skirt with those boots if I were you. Stop oppressing me, transphobe! But queer culture is growing and it's making space for all these identities. Among transsexual people, there's a big trend towards openness rather than trying to hide it. And the more people are open, the easier it is for others to be open. It's very easy to define gender stuff in unhappy terms, in terms of struggle, isolation, or rejection. But my gender stuff is a source of happiness. I like being a pharmacist baffler. You should look, see the look on their faces when you ask for, you know, man ointment. Willy cream. It's my wife's expression. She likes it a lot. She's got a big fan of the phrase Willy cream. She made it up and it makes me laugh. I think the future is a good place to head towards. I'm optimistic because, ladies and gentlemen, I want to live in a better world. A world where everyone can wear what they want without fear of ridicule, whether that's transvestites or goths or those men who wear shoes with no socks. I want to live in a world where gender is a spectrum, not a binary, where people's pronouns are respected and where sausage sandwiches make themselves and then wake me up with a cup of tea. I want to live in a society where categories are created to fit the people they describe and not the other way around, where women are expected to be able to fix stuff and men are expected to emote, where people are allowed to change their bodies to match their brains as a matter of course, like getting braces or glasses. Mind you, I also want to live in a world with food dispensers like they have in Star Trek, where trains run on time and where for every multinational burger joint there's a 24-hour vegan fast food place with Doctor Who toys free with every order. But we need to start building that future. I hereby call for a revolution. Not like Russell Brand's one. I've actually thought about this. Trannies of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your trousers.
Andrew O'Neill, Pharmacist Baffler, was written and performed by Andrew O'Neill and also starred Stephen Carlin, with the voices of Paul Heath and Beatrice Jones. It was produced by Alison Vernon-Smith.